Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This will be our wrestling podcast featuring NWA Power, Impact Wrestling, and AEW Dark and AEW Dynamite. That will be what it features today. We'll start out with Power. It was kind of a strange episode. The original assumption was that it had something to do with somebody resigning. However, it has been said through Twitter that this was the plan all along due to, I guess, rumors that they kind of have everything where they want it for the pay-per-view, which is odd enough. But let's go through what happened quickly. There's a promo from Eli Drake from Championship Wrestling in Hollywood, which I thought was good. I thought he did a good job. He called out Nick Aldis for being pompous, and then he called out Ken Anderson for being like him except not like him. Right?
Yeah, something to that.
But it was good. It was good. And then we got to an announcement that the Rock and Roll Express will be challenging the Wild Cards for the titles, which is a youth movement in all aspects.
It's a youth movement, yeah.
Now, was that at the pay-per-view or is that at the next episode?
I believe that is the pay-per-view.
I thought so too, but then at the end I got confused. But okay, so we'll get it either next week or at the pay-per-view. Thunder Rosa fight story. We'll do that all together. I liked what they did here. I liked the fact that they didn't gloss over the fact that she lost her match.
Yeah.
But I liked how the guys were telling her, you understand that that girl's frustrated she didn't take you out.
Yeah, she
because
did knock
your
you
first
out.
Fight.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was well done. It shows a good side of her. I think that I don't know that she needs the MMA part to be what we want her to be in wrestling, but if she wants to continue that,
she seemed really, really passionate about it.
Right. Danny Deals had a commercial.
Yeah.
For highspots.com, yes. Which seems amazing.
Yeah, he really sells it. He was wandering through the desert, I believe. I don't remember. But.
You can get DVDs, even a wrestling ring from this man. Tapes, whatever you want. Danny Deals, he's got it. NWA national title, Colt Cabana versus Starks?
Wasn't that last week? Where then they had to team up against the people that attacked him?
Right. I think that that's not true, right?
Oh, no. Last week it was question mark versus Ricky Starks, and then Damian Sandow came out to attack Starks.
Right.
So, yeah. Now it's...
The Colt Cabana... I think Colt Cabana's fighting the question mark.
Yeah.
Right? Because the question mark won that match last week. Okay. That's what it is. I'm sorry, guys. A lot of wrestling over the course of the week. It's hard to keep up with everything. Stevens and question mark wrestled in an empty building versus the Dawsons. That was weird.
It was weird to have an empty crowd.
And then the stip here was the question mark would unmask or they would read Shakespeare.
The Dawsons would read Shakespeare.
The Dawsons lost and read Shakespeare and at some point became inspired and decided to really get into it. And that's when Stevens began throwing up in the garbage can.
I thought it was all in all a great segment.
It was pretty funny.
It was good.
It was pretty funny. Melina did an interview, which I wasn't blown away by or upset with. It was whatever. And then you have... they have something called a Circle Square series that Billy Corgan announced, which I guess that's not, it's going to be separate from the show we have.
I'm assuming, yeah.
In which they're going to take all these athletes that are now applying to be in NWA, which I'm sure they're getting a lot of, and having them try out, basically like an NXT thing or a.
But just like live. Or not right. live, but
right.
In front of a live crowd.
Well, like the WWE, what did they have with the women? The Mae Young Classic. Something like that,
yeah,
right?
So yeah.
It'll be something similar to that, which I think is cool. Anybody gets more. Then they eventually announce Aldis versus Storm in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And that was pretty much it for the episode, right?
Yeah. Not a whole lot.
Now, we're going to go on to Impact, which is next. And I want to say that I enjoyed Impact. And I got that Impact figured for the holiday they would do something fun. I also am not 100% sure Impact was not taking shots at NWA here.
There were, I mean, they were kind of taking shots at anyone and everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that that's just like the nature of like doing a program like that is you're going to end up poking fun at some stuff. But like when that guy, like his dad got attacked and he's like, oh, I guess I'll have to take over the territory. That's really funny.
Yeah, right, right.
Stuff like that. Right. So I wouldn't say directly, but that is kind of what NWA is doing.
Talking about Impact.
Yeah.
Bill Durr. Gymnasium.
It was absolutely hilarious. Ray Strack.
Right.
It was great. I really had a fun time with it. I felt
Jazzy
like
Fit Body.
Jazzy Fit Body was
The best part is they even had the crappy finishers that don't live up today.
It was old style.
But I think too, in some ways, they were poking the bear at the NWA power stuff because NWA has a more more throwback retro style of wrestling. You don't see a lot of the high spots and stuff like that. And they did a couple of times mention, oh, that's one of those whatever moves. And it's, you know, that's really, you know.
And was it Don Callis? Of course it was Don Callis. He said, if he's going that fast, he isn't going to make it in this business. He's got to slow down. And he wasn't even going at half speed.
Right. Oh, my God.
Speaking of taking shots, Sammy Callahan was, in fact,
Jim Cornette.
Right. Correct.
Hero of us all.
Okay, Sammy. We start out with the Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation being called by Sexton Hardcastle and Giuseppe Scalavera Jr. Wow. They had we were told that we're going to get a body slam challenge match, a blindfold match, a loser leave town match for the championship of the territory. And then we start out with Rip Razor versus Rapid Delivery Pete.
it was great.
It was very hokey.
Rich Swann's a hero.
Yeah, and Rapid Delivery Pete was Rich Swann, and what's Rip Razor's real name?
The magic dude.
Oh, Ace Austin?
Ace Austin. Yeah, and he had the collar with the spikes, and when he put him in a headlock, yeah, and hurt his arm. It was so good.
He was smoking a cigarette like the whole time. It was awesome.
They made drop kicks out to be sunset cute flips.
Yeah.
Everything, right? That's so hammed up. And he winds up Rapid Delivery Pete winds up pulling out the win, I believe. The wins and losses don't matter here, guys. We're just mowing through this to let you know this was fun.
It was a blast.
And you might want to go back and check it out. Julian Cummerbund and his manager, Sonny Sanders, who is Jim Cornette or Sammy Callahan, and Julian Cummerbund is actually
Ethan Page
versus Downtown Daddy Brown.
Downtown Daddy Brown.
Who is Willie Mack. And they give a promo about they're going to eat hamburgers with pickles afterwards.
And then the crowd was going ham for pickles. And then he said
they didn't deserve pickles or something.
Yeah, he said no, that the pickles were only for them, which is like such it's quality. You know?
Yeah. And then they talk about how there'd be no women in the territory if not for them being there. And it's just the typical I dress good thing from the 70s and early 80s. And then, of course, Willie Mack is dressed somewhat like JYD would be dressed if he was in a street fight in Junkyard Dog. And then he gives a pretty simple kind of rudimentary promo about, I'm going to beat you up. And these people are paying their hard-earned money to see me beat you up. And then Sonny does a thing where he says he doesn't want to fight. And then he gets behind him and he hits him with the tennis racket. But that goes south when Willie unloads, and then he winds up ripping the pants off of the guy, which is a straight Ric Flair mark from back in the day, where
it just came off.
That would happen to Ric Flair once a month in some place, you know, that somebody would rip his pants off of him. You know, these rich, it was so good. So good. Okay. And so then we move on to Excessive Force promo, and they're going to fight the Deaners, who are actually the Hard Workers, who are actually Oates and Hall. Not Hall and Oates, mind you.
Oates and Hall.
And they come out with top hats, suspenders, bow ties, and they go up into the crowd. The Excessive Force can't really speak English, which is another callback to back in the day when you would take a guy from Georgia and have him be the Ugandan giant.
I mean, yeah, no, that's it's straight up what it was.
And they didn't wear shoes, and It was great to see D'Lo Brown in action because he doesn't get in action a whole lot. Fala was his partner, and the Hard Workers eventually win, but then the evil force, the excessive force, wind up jumping him afterwards. Then you have Johnny Swinger, who actually doesn't have to be out of character to be in the show.
Johnny Swinger.
It's just Johnny Swinger, and comes out and has a just regular old Johnny Swinger match.
Johnny Swinger is just a swipe at NWA anyways.
He also had an innovative new move, a swinging neck breaker, he calls it.
Woo! Rhino does a video package, which is a callback from his the Butcher's thing that he did with Seth back when they were doing something like this on a WWE thing.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Rhino does the ultimate. He's Frank the Butcher, and he does the ultimate and tells his partner, when you're done playing in the minor leagues, feel free to come over here and jump in here with us at Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation. And then we go to the Rough Riders promo, which was gold. Oh,
yes.
It was golden.
I want that every week, really. It was great.
Tessa Blanchard, Havoc, Jordani Grace, and was that Tennille?
No, it was the other one, right? It's not Tennille. I cannot remember her name for the life of me right now.
And they gave a great promo with lots of innuendo, and it was hilarious. And they're going to have a match later when it went towards the middle. And then we have Jazzy Fitbody versus Agnes Beerheart, which was Madison Rayne versus Alyssa Edwards. And it was perfect. Madison Rayne totally dove into this character and had a Olivia Newton-John jazzercise exercise.
It was all in the details. Like, after the match, she gets offered a contract by, I forgot who played the guy or what his name was.
The guy with the guy with the dark fingernails. He's got his own podcast, too.
Jimmy Jacobs.
Yes, Sebastian something is his name in this.
But when he offers her a contract, she's kind of like jogging nervously in place.
Yes.
Just like doing a little bit of an exercise, like kind of in place nervously. I thought that was just...
And then she signs it, but then rips it up, kicks him in the tally, which is the clutch move everybody always does. What was it that happened at the end? Going back to that match with the... the hard workers. What was it the end they did with the hats? Can you remember?
Yeah, they put the hats, their top hats that they came in with, they put them on top of one of the Deaners that they were attacking and then body slammed it. Just kind of jumped on him and the hats, crushing them. And the hard workers were holding the hats weeping.
Which they should have been, because that was... The hard workers worked hard to purchase those hats.
Did you know they didn't have money for shirts?
Right.
body slams were the Canadian Destroyers.
Yeah, just overdone. Everyone's using a body slam. We know it's not going to end the match.
Okay, then we wind up with Tim Burr, Jim Nasum, Ray Strack. Bill Ding. Versus the Rough Riders.
Which was the Rascals and... No, that's just all the Rascals,
yeah, it was
right?
The Rascals versus the Rough Riders. And
This is the one where Sexton Hardcastle said, if he's going to go that fast, he ain't going to make it in this business.
Right. Yeah. But it was a kind of a good little thing.
It was great.
And the girls went over. Tessa hit the buzzsaw finisher to win. And then we wind up with...
What was that? I think I'll call that a DDT.
Wait, no. Wasn't someone in the match the guy from the North?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he invented in this match the double axe handle.
Yes.
Remember, he pondered it, and he brought up his second hand.
Right.
And then he did...
He invented the double axe handle.
The double axe handle.
Which is my favorite move anyway.
It's great. We also saw the world's first super kick party.
That was it.
In that match.
And yes. Also, didn't Sexton say, I think that's a I'll call it a DDT.
Yeah, the first DDT as well. It was an incredible match.
Right. Then Congo Kong has a $3,000 or $300,000 Body Slam Challenge.
No, I think it was $3,000.
Yeah, I can't imagine it was $300,000 in that building.
He was the $300,000 man, though.
Oh, okay, yeah. But he only gave so much of that up. Okay, that's what it was. Now, Mr. Atlantis comes out, who is Cage, and body slams him and takes the money, which is perfect.
No, no, Mr. Atlantis was the guy who looks like Quentin Tarantino, like jacked.
Oh.
And then after that, Cage comes out, and his name, what was his name in that? He had like a Canadian gimmick. It was great.
Oh, that's
Mr.
right.
Mr. McMuscle.
Something like that. Mr. Muscles or
Mick Muscle. I remember Mick Muscle.
Mick Muscle. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. My bad. And he gets the $3,000. Moose,
also
who is DJ Large.
Also waving the Canadian flag in an American building.
I believe he is.
It was an American building though.
Oh, no, yeah, it takes place in Canada.
Right. Moose, who was DJ Too Large, versus Captain Joystick, and they had an actual match. Captain Joystick was what now? Who was that?
It was Joey.
Of course it was. Okay, and Moose winds up getting a win there. Wow, just a lot.
The promo as well, and like the green screen cockpit was really funny.
Oh my god. Do you want to go into that?
No, I mean it was just an enjoyable little segment.
Okay. Then they wind up with a blindfold match where Gamma Singh versus Cowboy Colt, who is Eddie Edwards and Dada Singh, they stumble around looking for each other like all these blindfold matches are.
A detail I did enjoy was that Gamma Singh he's the old guy in the Desi Hit Squad. He's the old manager guy. He used to be a wrestler.
Right.
So he's just playing himself from the past. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
and then one of the younger guys was dressed up as the old guy managing him. I thought it was just a perfect detail.
Perfect, correct.
Another thing I wanted to mention, there's at one point where Gamma Singh's like doing the thing where they run the ropes and you jump over and you duck, you drop on the ground and have them walk over you.
Yeah.
Like doing that, running the ropes by himself. Cowboy Colt was like on, looking for him somewhere, and he's doing the athletics. Yeah.
Right. Now the cowboy winds up going over until the evil Soviets come in and jump him and beat him up and put the Soviet flag on top of him, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah. It was tragic.
At which point, the owner of the company, who's Scott D'Amore or Giuseppe Senior,
yeah,
decides he's going to be Cowboy's partner next week, and they're going to run the Soviets back to the Soviet Union on next week's episode. And popcorn and hot dogs will also be half price.
Yes.
So it's a twofer.
It's a twofer.
Come for the popcorn and the hot dogs. Stay for us running these Russians out of town.
Absolutely.
Which is. Well done. And then we get the TV title / loser leave town match, because the TV title wouldn't be enough.
No.
Got to have more on the line. Julian Cumberbatch.
Cumberbun, I believe.
Cumberbun, because he wore a cummerbun. Nice. Paige with Sonny Sanders versus Downtown Daddy Brown in a fantastic match.
I want to give a shout out to the spot where he hid in the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've never seen a spot like that before, but him stealing that guy's beanie and starting a chant, it was gold. Also featuring one of the best worked punches I've ever seen. Straight up, if you look at how Willie Mack punches him, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
It was just real, I don't know, just a little detail that I saw.
And they win with a roll-up.
Because
throughout time, it's funny how many times, like before, like recent memory, like Ric Flair's won multiple big time titles. You know, Ricky Steamboat, the greatest, a lot of people call that WrestleMania 3 Steamboat Savage match, greatest match of all time, and all these crazy things happen. It's a roll up that wins the match.
It's a roll up finish.
You know what I mean? And it was a roll up finish here to win this match that will go down in history alongside those. And then we're going to go into AEW Dark. We start out with Trent defeating Pentagon Jr. in what was a good. I liked it. I like Pentagon Jr. I think he's the only problem I have right now with what's going on with the Lucha Brothers is I'd like to see him win more than they're winning. Because I really like him. And Phoenix has lost, I think, one solo. Pentagon's lost his solo, and now we have them losing. Well, spoiler alert. Okay. anyway, but it was well done. Trent is a very good wrestler. Pentagon is a great wrestler. And
I have a minor complaint about the finish, but it's whatever, you know.
Right, but it was good, and they were given a little bit of time, and it's two guys that don't. I get a little frustrated when they act like Pentagon Jr. is a solo special, as a tag team specialist, because I know how much he's wrestled outside of this. But by the same token, we're on the AEW brand, so I get
it. Also, the biggest problem I have with the Lucha Bros is that they are the Lucha Bros, and they do not let them wrestle equally. Yep. So Rey Fénix can hit Brandi Rhodes with a senton while she's in the middle of the
crowd. The front row, just clip her.
Mm-hmm.
But I like seeing him do solo stuff. I think the match last week with Nick Jackson and Fénix was unreal. I put that match over
here. And I would like to see Fénix wrestle more solo, because I think he would be better. I think he can get better and better and better at that.
Yeah.
And Pentagon's already good at it. Right, right. Now, Shayna versus, who is a new performer, and they have a thing with her where she kind of... They didn't do a Cody Rhodes version of that.
I thought that was good, though, because it shows that he's, like, out of action still. Like, he wasn't there because he was, you know...
Correct.
He was messed up because of the circumstances.
But she did tell you why she felt undesirable, how she had been shunned by... Not shunned by WWE, but had kept getting put off. Like, we'll sign you eventually, and then... Impact just straight up told her, from what they said, TNA, she called it.
Yeah.
Said straight up told her that the TV adds 10 pounds, so you can't work here, which was crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Yeah, and whoever did say that, I mean, get over yourself. But, so they had a pretty good little match. I felt it wasn't great, but.
I think there was potential. I think a lot of these people are facing each other for like the first time, and Big Swole's not a veteran. She's like 3 years maybe.
No, and that's a problem too I have with Big Swole is the first time we saw her at one of the pay-per-views, I thought, oh, she's about to be a star.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen her get enough work to really progress, and I don't think we've seen her in the ring with people that are really, really good.
Oh, yeah, if she gets in there with like a veteran and she starts doing that more often, she'll learn real quick.
Right, because I feel like everything's there for her.
Yeah.
But she needs to be in there with somebody that's can help her be better. And I think the same thing with the other girl, and it just, for whatever reason, this wasn't it for them. Awesome Kong is next, and she gets into a squash match with Bates, the librarian girl, and that was pretty easily done. Squash. And then we move on to Kenny Omega versus Jack Evans for the AAA title. Obviously we don't think that they will lose a title, a AAA title on Dark, but by the same token, Kenny Omega's awesome, Jack Evans is awesome, and they tore it up. And I recommend watching this, because you don't get to see Jack Evans in solo environments much, where he gets a chance to stretch it out, and Kenny is as good as there is. And so I recommend you check this episode out. And if nothing else, check out the first and last match, because I think you should check that out. Now we're going to move on to the meat of the meal, Dynamite, which was a 2-hour special on Wednesday night, which is wonderful. We started out with Le Champion's Partey. What did we think about Le Champion's Partey?
I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. I thought it had a lot of the right.
They broke his dad out.
Broke his dad out.
Chris Jericho's dad.
He got some flippers. Yeah.
And that when they did not realize. His dad thought they were still in New York, and he wore the Yankees stuff and gave all the
Yankees.
The Rangers.
Put some respect on the Rangers' name.
Yeah. I don't watch others. I don't watch real sports.
That's fair.
But he did. It was well done for what these things are, and it was. Jericho got the opportunity to be funny, and he got the opportunity to peddle a new bubbly.
Yeah.
Which they have a new bubbly product, which is amazing.
If you go to that URL, it takes you to the shirt. There is not actual wine, I will say.
They're not selling wine. Not they actually like they were.
Yeah, if you go there, it'll take it you just to
sells,
the shirt.
Oh, shucks. I thought he was
he
selling
you again.
Oh, man. Okay. So then they wind up with, of course, at the end it winds up being a free-for-all because the...
Justin Roberts gets brought in to read the thank you message.
Right, which he does a good job of.
He does.
But evidently not good enough.
So he starts getting clowned on, and then SCU runs in.
Right, as they're dressed as the band.
Yeah.
I believe, which was nice. Because I thought for sure they'd be in the box, but when it was his dad, I thought, oh, we're getting just a straight segment. And then they wind up with the other thing. Then we get the first match of the evening, which is Best Friends versus Lucha Brothers, which I was surprised at the ending.
Yeah, I really thought that this would be where Lucha Bros kind of starts climbing again.
But right, but they did not. But it was a good match.
It was a good match. I really like, I thought Chuck Taylor was amazing in this match. I think that he's kind of, not underrated, but like, when he's good, he's really good.
Right.
Like, he's fast, and he's powerful, and it's quick, and it's, yeah. I saw a lot of that this
but
match.
There's always a little bit of a buzz around Trent.
I mean, yeah.
And the other two guys, there's always a huge buzz around. Yes. But, I mean, it's interesting that you would point out that Chuck is good because a lot of people don't even think about Chuck when they think about this matchup.
He has, like, a long catalog of really good matches, but they're all for, like, you know, PWG or something. And right. You can go find them, but they're not mainstream. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Chuck's extremely unsafe pile driver is probably
the awful waffle
extremely unsafe pile driver, whatever you call it, is still one of the best names for
it's basically a Steiner screwdriver, right?
No, mm-hmm. A Steiner screwdriver is a suplex.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you pop it over into a
That's
pile
fair.
Driver
ouch
and then, ouch. But an awful waffle is back suplex, spin them over, and then drop their head down. And extremely unsafe.
Yep. Unsafe. Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander versus Emi
Sakura
and Bea Priestley. What do we think about this?
I don't see it with Hikaru Shida, and I'll be honest about that. I'm just not huge on her.
Really?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of strange, but I like her look a lot. But a lot of her offense just seems very slow. Like, the way she does knees is she kind of puts her knee up and then kind of goes forward, and it just doesn't look like it has any kind of snap to it. And that's kind of all of her moveset.
Okay, now...
It was fine.
Emi Sakura is also older.
Yes.
So I felt, like when I watched this match was... It was a little, like you said, it wasn't... What we've come to expect, right? And it's a little... Just wasn't crisp.
It wasn't crisp, yeah.
Right, okay.
That's the way to put it.
That's what I thought,
I thought it
too.
Had good spots in it, like when Emi Sakura sat in the chair that Shida set up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good.
Right.
I think really like Emi Sakura. I think she has a lot of charisma.
Right, it's just, at this point in her career, you've got to kind of put her in there with people that can make her look good. Okay. So Sakura goes over, though, with a mic stand smack to the girl's head. And she gets the win there. Then Cody winds up coming out against Matt Nix and winds up with somewhat of a squash match. Gets a figure four done.
May I also mention, I died because he still does that entrance. Even when MJF mocked him for that entrance.
Cody's kind of wearing on me a little bit, I gotta be honest.
And he also, he beat the guy.
I think that's by design.
It kind of does feel that way with how excessive he is constantly. It's just like, man.
But also...
At some point, he'll be able to go heel, and I think he's
that'll be better.
Pushing an envelope on
that. Why did he fight a jobber?
That guy is actually well-known. He owns a local indie company in town that they were in.
But then why did he beat him with a figure four?
I don't know. Just go.
I believe that whole match was to set up the
Butcher.
Blade, the Butcher, and the Bunny.
The Butcher and the Blade, you gotta say it in that order. It's powerful. It's punchy.
The Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny.
And the Bunny, yeah.
The whole match was a setup for...
The Bunny is far less threatening than both the Butcher and the Blade.
Hey, she looks... her look is so good, though, and that's what Allie excels at.
Say, the Butcher, the Blade, Bunny.
Well, it's kind of like the contrast makes it a little interesting. You know what I mean with that?
They came from out of the ring...
Under the ring.
Under the ring.
Popped
out from under the ring, and they attacked Cody, and they roughed him up, and we have a new character on the show.
I think they had to change Allie's character because her match with Brandi Rose was so unbelievably awful.
Wrestling is not the best part of wrestling that she's good at, you know what I mean? She's good at character work, she was good at Impact when she was doing the whole demon thing.
When she died.
Yeah, like when she died and became a demon and all that jazz. That was good, that was what she excelled at. straight up wrestling technical matches is not her forte. And I'm glad that they're putting her in a situation where she can
excel. Right.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes. The whole segment was kind of really awkward, though.
Right, right.
I like the Butcher and the Blade. I think they have a really good look. The Butcher, I believe, is the drummer or lead guitar of a band, Every Time I Die.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
did cool. not know that.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of... JR seems to be sensitive these days, which is interesting because he was defending himself on Twitter this week a little bit, and he pointed out that people were saying, why doesn't JR know who these people are? And JR was saying back, I wasn't supposed to know who they are.
Why would he know? They came out from under the ring randomly. Like.
And I believe that is, that there's a complaint out there, well, why weren't they running vignettes for these guys? Why weren't they doing, well, it wouldn't be a surprise entrance. The thing about, to me, okay, MJF's heel turn. MJF was a heel. That wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, it was a betrayal.
Moxley showing up at the show, that to me, that wasn't a surprise. I knew Moxley was part of the company. I just didn't know when he was going to come walking yeah. in. This was a legitimate opportunity to surprise yeah. people with a character.
Yeah, and they came out from under the ring randomly and after just some
right,
a match.
Right, I can't remember. So to me, it's like, if you want to complain about something, you're almost backwards in complaining about this, because I don't think there's anything to complain about, but... this is exactly what it was supposed to be. We were supposed to surprise people.
I will say, JR kept kind of pitching it to Excalibur to offer literally any kind of explanation, and he didn't have to go in depth. He could just be like, this is...
Suicida El Torpedo.
But Excalibur could have just straight up said, like, oh, this is an indie team that's been, you know, sweeping the indies with their brand of violence, or, you know, something to that
effect. Anything.
Or just anything other than just repeating their names over and over.
This guy is the most violent guy in wrestling. Something.
Give any information on them. You can give as little as you want and as little, because you can fill in the blanks next week.
And it's wrestling. It can even be a lie.
Yeah, straight up.
You know
up,
what I mean? Because
you can say they're from, you know, they time traveled.
Now, the next match was Kenny Omega versus Pac in... Well, Jared, go.
It was Pac versus Omega. I thought it was awesome. Pac's really becoming one of my favorite wrestlers in the company just because, I don't know, just the type of matches he has.
And the backstory is Omega's told us that he lost his groove due to Pac beating him, and everybody else had just picked apart the dead bones.
Exactly.
Okay, so go.
So he goes and he's vicious.
Mm-hmm.
He's vicious, and they had like the back and forth they had last time with the match. They had the same spot with the Kentaro Crusher into the flip. But Omega seems prepared for that. Like, afterwards, he hits him with some of the nastiest dragon suplexes I've ever seen in my whole life.
Right.
Just the viciousness and the speed at which he was going was awesome. It told such a good story. And, you know, Pac loses.
Right.
And that's fine.
V-Trigger. But you loved it.
Wait, was that how the match ended?
Yeah, I thought it ended with a V-Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
But
V-Trigger's better than
you loved the match.
I loved it.
Right. Okay.
I thought it was appropriate, and I thought it was just like the amount of time given to it was fine.
Right.
I think it moves things forward without, you know, putting anyone under.
Right. Right. Either one of the Pac can lose. It's fine. He hasn't lost.
He's vicious. That dude's so good.
Right.
I'd believe it if he just he could win a match at any point in time just because of how vicious he is.
Correct.
If he sinks his brutalizer in, you might just be done.
Right. Now, Hangman Page is up next versus MJF with the battle for the Diamond Ring. And the Warlord is going to be there for help. What do we think about this?
It was about what I expected. Not, like, bad or nothing, MJF, but it was just...
MJF Hangman?
Yeah.
The match was kind of trash.
Trash?
I don't know if it was trash.
I don't remember a single spot... nor like a single move. Oh, I do remember one. That lazy, half-done crossroads.
It was the worst. Oh, it was the worst crossroads I've ever seen.
I think that was actually... people were dunking on MJF for that, but I think that was kind of Hangman's fault. I think he just didn't get...
Here's the thing about this match. Hangman is not really at a point right now where I think he can be the lead dog in a match. And MJF ain't either.
MJF, yeah, that's just not who he is.
MJF is at that point in his career where his gimmick is out in front of his in-ring. And I didn't know that because I haven't seen him wrestle a whole lot.
Yeah,
I may be speaking out of turn, but it feels like that when I watched him in this match.
I'd say that's more or less true.
People are going to hate me for saying this, but Hangman ain't John Cena. He can't.
Yeah.
He can't control a match.
That is both factual and I understand what you mean.
Yet,
I will say.
Yet he is really good at wrestling.
And there is also aspects to Paige can do more things right now than probably Cena can do in a ring. But what Cena was good at is listening to a crowd.
Yeah.
And you know, you could even say Hogan was terrible at wrestling. Yeah, but Hogan could listen to a crowd.
Yeah, well,
and
he'd Hogan know Rock.
When he could do.
That's not a technical masterpiece.
Right.
But look how hot the crowd was.
Right, correct. The Rock is another example of a guy who did four or five moves, but he knew how to work a crowd. And these two guys are not there yet. No. And yet, it just wasn't. I was hoping for more than what I got, and I wasn't mad about what I got. It just wasn't.
It was expected.
It was what I got.
Wardlow punches Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman gets double-crossed. I thought that was a good call by JR, where he's like, that's not a crossroads, that's a double-cross.
Right.
I thought I kind of like that.
Right.
I think that fits really well with MJF. Right. A terrible move, though.
Right.
Just abysmal.
Now, the other thing, though, is DDP winds up coming out,
yeah,
and he kind of gets into a little bit with him. I was wanting so bad to see a diamond cutter right there.
Please, why didn't I see a diamond cutter?
Dude, imagine this.
What would have hurt?
No one.
A diamond cutter on the heel.
It would have been great. It would have popped the crowd huge.
Yeah.
What if the diamond ring was on Diamond Dallas Page's middle finger? Diamond Dallas Page then proceeded to flip MJF off, hit him with a diamond cutter, and then throw the diamond ring onto him.
I assume that's not the story they want to tell, but man, I would have liked that story.
It would have been pretty good.
I don't think they wanted MJF to look bad, because MJF is about to go into a program with Cody.
Well, here's the thing. Right. MJF.
And that could be where we get more out of MJF. Because Cody can be a ring general, even if he's not quite
the three-star ring general.
Where's
Kenny Omega,
referee?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what, Ray?
Nothing.
Okay, all right. So we're going to move on to the next thing, which is Dustin and the Young Bucks wind up. How did that wind up materializing?
DDP's just getting clowned on, and then they run out just because. No, wasn't it last week where Dustin came out and cut a promo? There's so much wrestling going on, it kind of bleeds together.
Dustin came out and the Young Bucks came out, and they wound up getting in a brawl with the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
That's what's been happening for the past several weeks. So
okay, that, same thing.
Somehow that ends up being the thing.
Okay, well, that same thing happened. It was great, whatever. Scorpio Sky versus Chris Jericho in the final main event match of the evening. What do we think about this?
I thought it was a great match for... Oh, the wrestler's given everything.
Issue with the finish. Yes.
What was the finish?
You had issue because they were calling it the Lion Tamer, and you said it wasn't.
It was not the Lion Tamer. Because this has always been the thing. The Walls of Jericho was the Boston Crab. And the Lion Tamer was where he put his knee on their head.
Same position.
It's different because it looks so much more painful.
He puts like his knee
over the foot.
Completely
different hole.
Yeah, I mean, more or less it is. So I understand.
One's a Boston Crab, one's a half Boston Crab.
And you're also putting pressure on their head.
Right.
There's a difference.
Right.
But yeah, that was the finish. And that, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it pretty much, again, kind of how I expected. There wasn't really a whole lot that like wowed me this episode. But
it felt, again, though, you know how I talked about in some other things, sometimes it feels like when you have controlled promos or you have a match where you know there's going to be a run-in, the wrestlers are kind of waiting.
Feels like they're waiting.
For something, or you're waiting for somebody to interrupt your talking, so you're kind of just mumbling around. This match felt like what we were doing with this match was getting to the end so Moxley could do his thing walking down the thing. You know what I mean?
Feel like that.
The Cody Rhodes match felt like we're doing this match so we can have the run in at the end.
I will say that match just could have been a straight up squash match for Cody, because they have rankings and, you know, wins and losses matter and
right,
all that.
So right, sure.
Him getting a win would make sense even if there wasn't a run in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But this did make it more interesting, I will say that. But the Scorpio Sky match, for sure. There was a 0% chance.
Right.
0% chance he wins.
Right. Because we're getting to Moxley versus Jericho, which I think is going to be great stuff.
I'm
going to
have fun.
I would say...
But also, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I don't think Jericho ain't willing to do a hardcore match. He ain't willing to do a Mox hardcore match.
Mox can do everything.
Yeah, Mox can do
and
everything.
I wouldn't say Jericho's not willing to either. I mean,
I just saw a picture of him with tacks in his arm from some match.
He remember he counted the tacks. I had 53 tacks in my back.
You know, he said I had 69 tacks in my back.
Right. Now, this week in wrestling, I thought it was a good week and a fun week. It was the first week that wrestling, non-WWE wrestling, didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll say that's fair.
But also, I don't think Power meant to. I don't think that Impact was trying to.
Impact was just having a fun episode.
And Dynamite was telling me a story off. And setting up the future.
It still felt like, if this is like where the line is, like the bottom of it, this is great. Like,
right. It was good, right?
Move stories forward. The wrestling was still pretty good. Oh, I want to say that part of the reason why it felt a little off was that Tony Schiavone was not there.
And he helps.
He helps JR a lot.
Right.
Just keeping him on track. Just prodding Excalibur to do the things that Excalibur excels at. Right. It felt like there was
It did feel missing. Like there was. That is a good point that Tony Schiavone is very helpful on those broadcasts. And I'm not
familiar with him. Just because I never watched what he was on.
Right.
But I love him. I think he's great.
He is great. He was great on Nitro before. You could tell sometimes on Nitro that he was a kind of a man in a clown show. And he knew it, but you know he had to do it. But so that's it. We're going to wrap this thing up for Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. For Ray the Go Home Heat Kid.
Still a Lion Kamer.
For New Japan Jared, for me KP, go home.